Attributes of God. You can trust in God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that God is immutable. He does not change. He is faithful to fulfill His promises, just as much today as when the Bible was written. You can rest assured that His word is still true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, want to be encouraged on Sunday? This is Wretched Radio. If you are anywhere near Beaufort, South Carolina, would encourage you to join us at communitybiblechurch.us. Two services Sunday morning. We're going to talk about the King of Kings, and I'm telling you, you're going to be encouraged. Chances are very good. The preaching will be very deficient. I know the guy who's delivering the message, but you will be loved on. You will worship well. And I'm telling you, you're going to be encouraged when you pull up to the building. I just went to the Googler machine to find communitybiblechurch.us. So I just typed in Community Bible Church, Beaufort, South Carolina. And the picture, Jimmy, can you see that? Here, let me pull up this picture for you so you can. Do you see that picture of that monster church?
Wow, yes.
It is. Every time I pull up to that place, I'm like, look at what the Lord is doing here. The county, it has like 60,000 people. I think that's what we Googled last time, Jimmy. Everybody must go to this church because it's just, it's massive and it's biblical. And does that not encourage you that there is a mega church that's actually sound? I'm telling you. You'll be encouraged. Would love to see you Sunday morning at Beaufort, South Carolina, Community Bible Church. Just drive around. You're going to find it because it's the biggest building in town. We'll see you there. And I'll bring a new picture, Community Bible Church, because they posted, this is kind of awkward, to announce that there's going to be a guest preacher. They actually mistakenly put up a picture of my son. That's how old this picture is of me. That's what it used to look like. Community Bible Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. And would you please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text whatever is on your mind within biblical limits to 877-282-2337.
So can I ask you a question? How do you typically feel when you finish preaching on Sunday?
Exhausted.
Yeah.
And it's twice on Sunday.
That's
now.
What I was getting at.
Oh, dude.
Start drinking electrolytes now.
I hate to say this. I hate that. You know what? First of all, after last Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church, I committed to eating a bigger breakfast. Mm. It was like, uh-oh, my tank is a little low. And that's stupid. So I'm going to force feed myself to have breakfast just so that there's some gas in the tank. Yeah. And I was thinking about preaching twice at Community Bible Church. And I kid you not. Oh, does this mean I'm going to become a drug addict? We have these things at home. They're called shot blocks. Mrs. Friel buys them in bulk. So when you need a little pick-me-up, like when we go, you're supposed to take them before you work out. Well, what we discovered basically is like they're packed with vitamin B and caffeine. So it's just like, woo, whipping you up. I actually thought about bringing some to Beaufort between services. Rather than coffee, I'll just start popping the shot blocks.
There you go.
For a little zippity doo-dah. Hope to see you there. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, someone near me recently shared that they no longer believe Paul is a reliable source of scripture. They claim the early church rejected him and that he and Jesus taught opposing things. Okay. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, you just got to read the Bible yourself. Now, I will say this. Did the early church reject Paul? The answer is some did. If you recall, I believe Acts chapter 9, Barnabas had to inject himself because they were terrified of Paul. And then he brought them together and went, fellas, you got a misunderstanding going on here. And then there was peace inside of the church. And then they affirmed him. The Jerusalem Council also affirmed his message in Acts chapter 15. So that's just flat out wrong. Now, as for conflicting messages, what it takes to explain it, it almost agitates me because it's so ridiculous. It's so easy to harmonize the word between Jesus and Paul. I mean, we've been able to pull it off for 2,000 years, but along come progressive liberal scholars to say, we've got competing messages between Paul and Jesus. Therefore, you need to throw the whole thing out. It's utter nonsense. And if you're looking for a book on this subject, the harmonizing between Jesus and Paul, Google, because you're going to find dozens of them. I kid you not, dozens of them. Furthermore, anytime somebody goes, hey, I think there's a contradiction in the Bible. But this one says 12,000, but over here it says 120,000. Well, which is it? Huh? Are there explanations for those things? Yes. And they've been presented over and over and over again. And you can have all of the resources that you want and you can explain it to people all that you want. But if their heart is hard and they have a predetermined conclusion, they're merely going to use what are apparent contradictions or problems in the Bible to simply affirm what they've already concluded. And that is why I would encourage you, get out of the land of the intellect. Get to the conscience as fast as you possibly can, because the harmonizing of the Bible, that's not an intellectual issue. That is a will issue. 877-282-2337.
Todd, this is from Josiah. He says, Todd, do you think every church or every Christian should either be a sender or goer in missions?
Every single one. I'm cogitating because I love sending churches. I love it that people are missionary minded. And yet, I love the autonomy of the local church. And I think that we need to esteem every single local pastor and let each church make those decisions for themselves, because there's an ebb and a flow to a church. There is a life to a church. There are stages and phases of a church. There's financial issues for a church. There's other pressing needs for a church. And so I don't think that I could make a law that says absolutely, positively, every single church needs to be doing something in some way, shape, or form. I would encourage that, but I just don't think we can make a law. Now, here's a compare and contrast for you. Community Bible Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. Wow, are they a sending church? I can't remember how many hundreds of missionaries that they support. They are big into sending the gospel around the globe. Now, I think Community Bible Church has been around 40, 50 years, something like that. Carl Broggi has been there for decades. And he has a heart for people to get saved. Believe me, he has a heart for people to get saved. I've been with him in public. There ain't a stranger he will not share the gospel with. They send, they're older. And then that's their heart. And they have the means to do that. Now, contrast that to little teeny tiny Alpharetta Bible Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. We've been around for a year and 10 months. And right now, at this stage in our church life, as much as we want to be supporting missionaries, we're not. And it's not because we don't want to. It's just because of the pressing needs of laying a foundation that is really, really solid. There's just stuff that has to be prioritized for the life and the health of the church and to take care of the needs of the church, you know, not to mention it's a financial commitment. And so we want to, I know we will at some point, but I hope we're not sinning because we're simply not doing it right now. And I wouldn't want to impose that standard on any local church because I don't know what's going on there. It could have been that the church secretary, she just took all the money. That happens too often, by the way. That just happens way too often. I know you kind of, Pastor, I know you're supposed to be preaching the word and praying and tending to the spiritual needs of your people, but you got to keep an eye on the cash, man, because even people, okay, I won't say who, but a buddy of mine was telling me that an old church, one of the deacons who was collecting the offering was stealing from it, like that morning, watching people put it in and then pull it out and put it in his pocket. Okay, shouldn't be that way, but unfortunately, so you gotta keep an eye on that stuff. A church just might not be able to at that moment. Or a church, the Lord might have them in a place where it's like, we're gonna be so pro-life. Or we're going to be so biblical counseling, or we're going to be so food pantry, or we're going to be so providing diapers and Similac for the babies in the neighborhood. And I think we have to allow for that liberty. 877-28. Jimmy, you okay with that? Am I going to take a beating for that?
You might.
Okay. Okay. What if a church just can't?
Well,
They can't even pay their pastor.
Yeah, so there, I think there's a difference. I think there's a distinction. There's a line there. I mean, because just going back to his question, if a church never sins, gives to, mentions, or prays for missionaries.
Well, okay, I'm thinking about supporting financially.
Yeah. I know.
Or sending them out. Oh, definitely. Oh, man, are you kidding? Pray for missionaries.
Yeah.
Oh, pray a lot.
Right.
If you ever can, I don't even know that we've actually got those on the web. We should. If you want a model for praying, if you want to hear a guy that prays concentrically, in other words, he has circles. So he'll pray for like if he starts in the inner, pray for the needs of the church, this little body right here. Then we talk about our neighborhood. Then we'll talk about our state. Then we'll pray for our nation. Then we'll pray for the globe. And that globe includes the missionaries, especially those who are in harm's way. Jason does a magnificent job with that. Absolutely, you should be praying for them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I just don't want to make a law where there is no law because I don't want to, every church, how many, okay, so if it's a law, how many missionaries does a church have to support? What's the rule? What's the ratio? What's the principle? See, you kind of get yourself into a lot of hot water. So I, respecting the autonomy of the local church, understanding the life of the church, understanding it should absolutely have a desire to send those because otherwise they won't hear if somebody doesn't go and they won't go if nobody sends them. But I don't want to make a law. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity. People who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription. No hidden fees. Just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect. God-breathed. authoritative, without error, the word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which he makes himself known and continues to draw us to himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Seven. The number of missionaries you must send is seven. That's a biblical number. We got that sorted. This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you'll send your disagreements. I just shared my take on missionary support from the local church. If you would like to share something and disagree even, correct, please send it to idea@wretched.org, or you can use your thumbs and text 877-282-2337.
I can't argue. That's the number of perfection.
That's exactly.
The perfect number.
That's exactly right.
This is from Elena. Todd, my brother and I are homeschooled teenagers. He's 13 and I'm 15. And we're looking to start an evangelism YouTube channel. Mm. We're considering visiting parks and other places during the spring, fall, and summer months, but we're unsure what to do during the winter when people are indoors.
Yeah.
Since we don't go to school and don't know a place to go where there are no solicitation laws, do you happen to have any suggestions? You're getting a word.
Getting a word here. Or it's these allergies. It's one or the other. I'm just gonna go out on a limb here. You live above the Mason-Dixon line, don't you? that's kind of a northern question. What do we do in the wintertime? People die out there. Okay. Well, if you're in Minneapolis, I do believe it's still legal to be in the skyways. If you're not, Jimmy, do you know what the skyways are?
I do not.
You're kidding.
I don't.
But we sent you to St. Paul once.
I didn't go on the skyways.
That's the sky. They're these tubes. It's like a gerbil, the Habba Trail, whatever those things. It's an indoor bridge from one building to the next over the top of the street. Because if you go outside, the odds are you will die in January in Minnesota. And so we have this Habba Trail thing built where you can walk all over the city. It's super groovy. And I think it's legal because those are public bridges that you can witness there. Anytime you go into private property, I think you've got to honor that it's private. And if they don't want you there, then you shouldn't do it. I just don't, you shouldn't. You got to find another place. You got to find another way. And by the way, this is an aside, this is not to abandon the question just yet, but don't forget about the internet. You can use the internet in the wintertime. Being an internet evangelist is a wonderful thing to be able to do. You got to be careful. I really encourage, if you're going to do it, whether you're 13, 15, or 75, you really should have somebody who's doing it with you just to supervise you. Not that you need a boss, but just to make sure that you're doing it wisely and well, because there's a few snares out there and you don't want to get caught in that trap. So I say you could be an internet evangelist in the wintertime. There are any government place. Now, can you go inside of buildings at a university? I have to confess, this is nothing more than a gut. I don't. Could I and make the same comment that I would if I were getting arrested out in public? This is a public university, which means I pay for this building, sir. And then we have every right to be in there. You could try that. Furthermore, at school. No, they're homeschooled.
Right, right.
Ah, are you in a cooperative? Are you in a Veritas sort of program? Are you in a Fidelity program? Don't think that every kid who is homeschooled is saved. You can witness to them too. Abide by the law. Don't feel bad if you can't by just keeping the law. But I think no matter where you are, there still could be some place. You can't go to the mall. You're just going to get booted from the mall eventually. And here's a decent rule. Rather than waiting to get kicked out, ask yourself the question. If you went to the mall owner and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Mall Owner, do you mind if I walk around and evangelize to people?" What do you think they'd say? No. And they have the right to. It's theirs. They own it. So abide by the rules. And good on you. Really, good on you. Well done. Well done. 13 and 15. Yeah. That's what we need more of in this country, right? Right there. I haven't read this article yet, but I kind of responded to the question that it was asking. It was something about Republicans versus Democrats. You know, how do we save this nation? Pick me. Pick me. It ain't through politics. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Andrew. Todd, I've been discipling my wife for about 2 years in how to study the Bible. She came to me with a good question. She wants to know how she gets confidence in knowing that what she studied in her quiet time is the truth. She's struggling because she's been exposed to cults from her family as she grew up and from her past marriage. On top of this, she's also experienced some extremely unhealthy churches.
Yeah, that'll impact a person's confidence in the Bible. Be a patient husband. Be a gentle husband. Don't be a judgmental husband and jump to the conclusion she's not saved. It sounds like she's got some baggage. We all do. She brought that into the study of the word. So unpack each suitcase one at a time. You know what, dear? Cool. God's not afraid of this. Let's jump on it. Let's start with them in order. Which one would you like to take? Where exactly are you struggling? And then you can address those things. And a lot of that might be good old-fashioned apologetics. This is a place where I think apologetics can play a role. When it's studying, for instance, archaeology, it's studying textual criticism, it's studying the books, the things that were written about Jesus outside of the Bible, the Josephuses and the Tacituses. And you can study those things. You can study, okay, here's a book that I would recommend, not for a gospel presentation, but I think that the case, Lee Strobel's book is a pretty condensed version of that. The Evidence Bible is super helpful with that. J. Warner Wallace, he does forensic stuff specifically about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can avail yourself of all of those things to help walk her through any sort of concerns that she might have. And you can do it confidently, because anything that she's worried about, it's been addressed gazillions of times. Be patient. Be loving. Don't be afraid. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, I've been seeing some billboards in my area that say things like, "Are you practicing idolatry? The Bible says there's only one God, not three in one." I've been disturbed by them. What are your thoughts?
Wait a second. The billboard says what?
The billboard says, "Are you practicing idolatry?"
Right.
Because the Bible says there is only one God, not three in one.
Okay. Well, they're anti-Trinitarian.
Yep.
So what you need to do is burn down that billboard and then say it's not really breaking the law because that's a bad billboard. Did I just...
Kinda.
Do that? That probably not the best way to go about it. Now, you know what you could do? Buy a billboard in front or behind of it. The billboard you're about to read is heresy, because it is. What do you do about that? What can you do? They bought it. They paid for it. It's wrong. And so that we don't get frustrated and so we don't become vigilantes, actually, there is something we can do. Proclaim truth. I know there's something inside of me, and I fear you might have the same malady. You think that unless it is somehow impacting the entire globe, or at least America, it's really not going to help. That is wrong thinking. That is just that is not the way the kingdom expands and marches. It's individuals in their zip code influencing those that they can, evangelizing those that they bump into, raising up their children to love Jesus. That is something we can do. And then if you teach Sunday school, you can teach the kids about the Trinitarian God. There is no other, if you believe in the Old and New Testament, there's just no other way to harmonize it. There really isn't. Because what you see when you study the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is you see two things. You see, if you will, individuality, we'll call it personhood, and unity. You see oneness and three distinct. That's the Trinity. And unless you adhere to that doctrine, the church has stated now for 2,000 years, you are outside of orthodoxy. So study the doctrine. Teach the doctrine to your kids. Teach it in Sunday school. And sometimes it's really good to review those things. I think that we might have a a propensity to think that if I'm teaching adult Sunday school and they've been doing it for years, they don't need these reminders. It's always good to remind ourselves of the basics, and Trinitarian theology is one of them. Get yourself the Athanasian Creed. That'll be extremely helpful in showing the necessity of believing in the Trinity. And as you read it, remember, whoa, this thing is like 1600 years old. They had this sorted a long time ago. And we need to make sure that we are teaching it then to our kids. This is why I love catechesis. It's so important that the kids memorize this stuff, because that is what we can do. You can drive by the billboard and you can get agitated. That's up to you. You can break the law and throw an egg at it if you want to go to jail. I don't think you should. Or you can do what you can do. And aren't we all kind of longing for that? Are we kind of tired, getting stirred up? How's about instead of just being agitated, not saying you should never be annoyed, instead of that, how's about being satisfied with what we can do where the Lord has planted us? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.